bet y'all, well, guys, summer is almost here. Who's excited about summer? Yeah. Come on. All right. Hey, before we begin, I just want you guys to turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, and say, hey, you can do this. Give him a high five. We're almost there. Summer is a few weeks away. We got to wake up. We got to realize, guys, summer is almost here. Let's go. Hey, we are continuing our series, actually finishing our series that we've been going through called What's the Point? So I'm excited to continue and to finish what we've been talking about these past few weeks. If you've been with us, we've been talking about the reason why we do the things that we do. Specifically, we can get into Christian activity. We can get involved in certain things that God calls us to do that are great things. But the danger is sometimes we can get into them without understanding the purpose behind these things. And so we're going to finish this series and talk about something that I think is really, really valuable for you guys to understand. But before we do that, man, I want to talk about something that I'm really, really passionate about. It's good food. Who loves good food? I mean, come on. Who doesn't love good food? All right. So I want you to think about the best fast food place that you know. Don't tell anyone in your mind right now. Oh, don't tell anyone in your mind right now. Think about it. And here's the deal, guys. Everyone knows that the best fast food places always have the special sauce. They always have an amazing sauce. You got Cane's. I mean, come on, that chicken finger sauce is amazing. Who doesn't love it? Whataburger, I mean, they got the spicy ketchup for your fries. In-N-Out Burger, they got that special sauce they put on those burgers. Like, it's just God's blessing to your taste buds. I mean, that stuff is amazing. But all those, man, they just can't compare. They just can't compare to the one, the only, the Chick-fil-A sauce. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen, guys? Look at that Chick-fil-A sauce. I mean, that looks magical. That is magical. Who in here has not had Chick-fil-A sauce? Lord, I just want to pray for these people that they would experience your goodness. Because you are missing out on the abundant life right there. That is Chick-fil-A sauce, and it is a blessing to your life. And guys, here's the thing about Chick-fil-A sauce. Man, it is one of a kind. It's unique. It's set apart. No one can touch that special sauce. And so, man, I thought, I talked to a guy, I pulled a few strings, and I actually got the ingredients to Chick-fil-A sauce, all right? So we're going to throw them on the screen. What we got is we got a cup of honey. So we got some honey on stage. We got some yellow mustard. We got some barbecue sauce, a little Sweet Baby Ray's. Oh, sweet and spicy. Amazing. We got some lemon juice and some mayonnaise. So I'm just going to start pouring some of these ingredients in here and see what I can do. Man, this is going to be really good. I don't know if you guys heard, but there's actually a Chick-fil-A sauce shortage right now. So get yours quick before they run out. We're just going to keep pouring. Almost done. We're going to mix this stuff together. It's going to taste really good, just a little by a little. Last thing, can't forget the honey right here. Oh, that's going to be really good. All right, I'm just going to mix this together. I mean, that color is turning out really good. Starting to look pretty good. There we go. That's amazing. That's amazing. Let me just give this a shot. What do we got here? Taste this. Here we go. Not bad, honestly. Not bad. Who wants to try it? You want to try it? Let's give it a front row. You guys just try it out. Just no, keep it. Keep it. Keep it. It's yours. Hold on to it. There we go. Honestly, I tasted a lot of lemon juice and not a lot of sweet goodness, but you really can't just recreate the sauce, right? I mean, that sauce, it's one of a kind. There's a reason that it's so good that people go and get it, and it makes that Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich just that much sweeter, right? Because it's one of a kind. You can't compare, right? It sets it apart from everything else. And we're going to talk today about, after you guys finish that sauce, you can put it down. We're going to talk today about something that sets Christians apart in their life. That's one of a kind. That's unique. You can't recreate that sauce because it's set apart. And there's something in the life of a believer we're going to talk about that sets us apart, that people can recognize that we are Jesus followers by the way that we do this one thing. And so we're going to talk about service. We're going to talk about serving other people. We're going to talk about what's the point of service. And guys, it is not natural to want to serve people. We are naturally selfish. Like we naturally, our world, our culture wants fame, recognition, status, popularity. No one wants to just go out of their way and serve other people, right? I mean, how many of you guys love just to to wake up every morning, you just love to clean your room, right? I mean, it just motivates you guys. Or loves just to, you know, help your sibling with their homework. Or loves to just do chores. Like, no one wants to do that, right? Because service doesn't come naturally to us. And the mark of a true Christian is the way that they serve other people, and that our world just does not want to do this. They're telling you something that's opposed to this. And so why does Jesus call us to serve? And we're going to learn that principle today, but I want to start with this specific point because I really think it's going to set the stage for what we're talking about today. All right, so this point I'm going to throw on the screen. It's this. It's that we are not saved by serving, that we are saved for serving. We are not saved by serving. We are saved for serving. We're not saved. You can leave that point on previously. We're not saved by serving. We are saved for serving. What that means is basically, hey, we cannot do enough good things. Like, it's the simple truth of the gospel that we cannot earn God's favor. We cannot serve enough people in order to earn God's love. That's why Jesus had to die. He had to come to serve us. And the way that we serve is out of a response to what he's done in our lives. So we are saved in order to just go serve other people, right? And so we're going to learn 3 points about why we are saved or why we serve other people. 3 points about what's the point of serving. And the first one you saw on the screen earlier is that we are saved to serve. We are saved to go serve others. That God didn't just save us from this eternal separation from him, that God saved us in order to serve him and to go love other people, to go serve other people. That's the mark of a Christian. The main mission of Jesus Christ, if I could sum it up in one word, it would be service. That Jesus came to serve us. And out of response, our lives should be a response to what he's done to us. And so we are saved to serve. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, it's the second book in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark. And it's the second gospel. It's the shortest gospel account. We're going to be in chapter 10. I'm going to set the scene a little bit for what's happening in this passage. Basically, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's a week away from being killed, being hung on a cross. And he's walking towards Jerusalem with his buddies, his disciples. And they're walking, and the disciples start questioning. They start asking all these questions to Jesus. And they're like, hey, I want to be the best. How can we be Jesus's right-hand man? You know, I want recognition. How do we do this? It's almost like they're on a road trip, and Jesus is in the front seat, and they're arguing in the back. And Jesus like turns around, and he's like, hey, I'm going to pull this car around, and we're going to talk about this. And so he's going to define what makes somebody great. And so here's what he says in Mark chapter 10, verse 44. Here's what he says. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave of everyone else. I mean, these are powerful words that Jesus is saying. He's saying that, hey, the greatest accomplishment that you could have in your life is to be a servant. Like, if you want to be MVP, if you want to be GOAT, like, you need to go and serve. The way up is down. The way you lead is you serve. And Jesus not only said that, man, Jesus demonstrated that. He showed us in the next verse, in 45, here's what it says. It says what Jesus did. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. And so if you read your New Testament, you're going to see all throughout Jesus demonstrating ways that he served. I wrote a few down, that Jesus washed feet. He left heaven. He died on a cross. He served the poor. He taught the gospel. He fed crowds of hungry people. He healed the sick, and he even raised the dead. Like, he had access to all authority and power on earth, and yet he chose to humble himself. That's the Jesus we're talking about. And so I want you guys to understand who I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the most influential and most impactful person who's ever walked the face of the earth. This is Jesus. There's been more books written about him. There's been more artwork done on him. There's been more music written about him than anyone else in the history of the world. This man had more impact than anyone else. And if this man, who was the greatest ever lived, humbled himself and served other people, we would be wise to do the same, to live in response to what he did, that he served. And he's saying that he didn't just come to be served, to receive, he came to give out, to serve other people. And that's impactful. So not only are we saved to serve, to give our life to other people, we're also gifted to serve. We're also gifted to serve, which is my second point. We are gifted to serve. We are saved to serve, and we are gifted to serve. And so I saw this video recently that I wanted to share with you guys. It's honestly hilarious, okay? It's parents basically choosing to give their kids terrible gifts for Christmas, and then they watched the reactions as they give them horrible gifts for Christmas. It's kind of mean, but they ended up giving a better gift later on. But I wanted to show you guys a few of these clips, so take a look. Guys, I think the only person happy in that was that avocado kid. The man was so excited for that avocado. I mean, who knew avocados were that great? But you got a half-eaten sandwich, an onion, and a battery. That girl goes, I don't want an onion. That's hilarious. Like, those are terrible gifts. They're obviously really bad gifts. But I think sometimes we can relate. Like, we've all been in those moments, you know, Christmas morning when grandma shows up and she gives us those socks that we didn't ask for, we don't want, or maybe that sweater that's itchy and we just don't care about. Like, we all know that feeling of getting a gift that you just don't want, or a gift that you just did not ask for. And the reason I show you that is because I think a lot of times in our life, sometimes even you and sometimes me, we can start to believe that God has gifted us with something that we don't really want, that he's given us something that we don't really want. He's given us talents and abilities and wirings that we feel like, man, we wish we had more of, or we're jealous of other people's gifts, and we don't actually use the gifts that God has given us. And we start to focus on other people and not what God has gifted us in, the thing he has gifted us in. And here's what it says in 1 Peter 4. It says that God has given each of you a gift. God has literally given you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And the worst thing that you could do with a gift is literally just take it, open it, and then put it back in the box and put it on the shelf. Or just put it on the shelf and just stare at it and admire it. Why? Because gifts are intended to have a purpose, right? And God has given every one of you a gift. If you believe and trust in him, he has given you a gift. Some of you guys have the gift of knowledge or the gift of wisdom or the gift of leadership or teaching. And all those gifts are given to you in order to serve other people, not in order to bring attention to yourself, but to serve and to minister to other people. And so the point I want to make is that you have something that somebody else needs. That you have something that somebody else needs. Somebody else could benefit from the gift that you have been given. And that God wants you to use that gift. Not just throw it away like that kid with that old sandwich who chunked it across the room. And not just admire it on a shelf and stand there and do nothing with it, but to utilize that to serve other people. And this book, 1 Peter, was written to a group of people that were suffering. They were under tremendous persecution. And the author basically, he advocates, he's like, hey, continue to serve even when you're suffering. And I think the tendency for us is to come up with excuses of why we shouldn't serve. Like, hey, I'm too tired, or my parents are too overbearing, or I don't want to serve my sibling because they're annoying, or my friends, I don't like them. We start to come up with all these excuses. And what Peter is advocating for is he's saying, hey, no excuse matters. Like he's saying, hey, continue to serve. Continue to serve even when you have all these excuses, because that is how we live as a believer. That is the mark of a true Christian. That's what sets us apart. And so we are gifted to serve. And the last point I want to make in the life of a believer is that we are not only gifted to serve, but we are called to serve. We're called to serve. So my question for you guys is, have you ever bought something? Maybe you bought like a cool hat or a cool backpack or some nice pair of white Nikes and some shoes. And you bought this thing. You thought, like, hey, no one else had this pair of shoes or this shirt or this backpack. And then you bought this and then you realized, you started to notice like every one of your friends like started to have this same thing that you bought. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before. Like, you literally start to see that thing that you bought like pop up everywhere that you go. I recently traded in my car, and the car I got, I started to recognize just everywhere along the road. And this is actually scientifically proven. It's called frequency illusion. All right, I'm gonna throw it on the screen. Here's what it is. It refers to a phenomenon when you're introduced to a new idea and suddenly start to see that thing everywhere you go. Basically, your mind starts to play tricks on you and you start to recognize that thing everywhere you go. And that thing just didn't create, more people didn't buy that thing. You just started to develop greater awareness for it. You begin to recognize that throughout your life. You begin to focus on it. And I think that's true of what service is. When we understand the call to serve, we understand that God has given us a gift to serve other people, when we start to have that and receive that, understand that, what happens? Our awareness changes. and we start to see needs from other people that we've never seen before. We start to go move towards people that need help and need our gifts. We start to love on other people. We start to move towards people. And God gives us a vision for that thing that we never saw. I think that's a great illustration for just what service does. We have to see other people's needs because we are not only gifted to serve, but we are called to serve. And so my question for you guys is, like, how many times do you walk past people in need without noticing an opportunity to help them? How many of you guys will just ignore the needs of your siblings because you're focused on yourselves? And we need to understand that God wants us to use us to meet the needs of other people. And so I have a great example of this. This happened recently. I'm going to throw a picture on the screen. As you see on the screen, I'm going to describe what's happening right here. Basically, it's three ninth grade students. These students just moved to high school, and their names are Rebecca, Mimi, and Izzy. And these students saw this young lady. She was disabled, and they were leaving church one day. And it was late at night, and these three students were leaving church. And as they were getting in their car, they turned, and they recognized this young woman sitting in a wheelchair by herself late at night. And so they knew God's call on their life was not just to go home, watch Netflix, sit by themselves, and do nothing. And they understood that God had a purpose for them right there to go love on that sweet girl for 45 minutes of their day. And so they got out of their car, they walked towards this girl, and they sat with her and encouraged her. These are literally 15-year-olds doing that. They saw a need, they met a need, and they knew that they had an opportunity to encourage someone. And that's what you guys have to do today. You have opportunities all around you of people in need. And the mark of a true Christian, the mark of a believer, is to not just keep those gifts to yourself, but to go love on other people and do what these three students did. Like, you are not too young to serve. There are needs everywhere. There are needs everywhere. And so what this could mean for you is, like, hey, not letting a single student in Wake right now sit by themselves. There are people who arrive late who've never been to Wake before. If you see a student who sits by themselves, invite them to come sit with you. Maybe that's a small group. You know, everyone has trash after small group ends and they have all these snacks. Maybe you're just like, man, I'm going to see a need. I'm going to pick up trash and put it in the trash can. That's a small act of service that I can use to serve other people. Maybe it's serving other people with the words you use. Or maybe it's serving your parents and obeying the first time. Whatever it is, we are called to serve. Here's what it says in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, meaning to serve other people, which God prepared in advance for you to walk in. So right now, sitting in this chair, that God has placed you in Dallas, Texas for a purpose. You are in the neighborhood, the friend group, the relationships that you have are specifically designed for a purpose where you can use your gifts to serve other people. And there's a reason that God didn't just want a snap of the fingers when we accepted Christ, we just went straight to heaven. It's because God wants you to go and to love on others, to put others first, to sacrifice your own interests for the interest of others, to do what Jesus did, not to be served, but to go serve. And that's the call of every believer. So there's two things as I want to close, two practical takeaways. How do we serve others well? I've heard someone say this before. I think it's really wise. It's number one is we see what others don't. We see what others don't. We train our minds to look for other people's needs. We see what others don't typically see. We go out of our way to pick up that piece of trash or to love on that student who's sitting alone or invite that person in who's at the lunch table by themselves. Not only that, we do what others won't. We do what others won't. We see what others don't and we do what others won't. And we're willing to do whatever it takes to help other people. When our friends aren't doing it, we can be the one. We can be the leader because we know we are set apart by the way that we put others first. So in conclusion, I wanted to think about this quote. It's by C.T. Studd. Here's what he says. I think it's a great quote. That's a practical takeaway for you guys. It says this: if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. I love that quote. No sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. I mean, think about what Jesus did on that cross. Beaten, bruised, spit on, separated from his Father for a time, and literally sacrificed for you, the ultimate sacrifice. And so when we look at just a simple act of service as a sacrifice, it can't compare to what Jesus has done. And so that should give us motivation. We should live in light of what Jesus has done. We should live in response to what he's done, because no sacrifice we make on this earth is too great. Jesus had the ultimate sacrifice. We have an opportunity to respond and show the world, be a visual aid to a watching world, what a true Christian looks like, someone who serves other people. That's our call, Wake. This summer, this is the last message we're giving. This summer, you have an opportunity to serve other people, to love on people, and to be the mark of a Christian set apart to serve. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Just thank you that you have given us a model for how to serve, that you've called us not to be served, but to serve, to put others first, that there's no sacrifice too great, that we're called to do it. And to a watching world that's full of selfishness and pride and recognition and fame and popularity, I pray that we would go first by putting others' people first, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.